It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're still in 2013, but the official color of 2014 has already been announced. It's Radiant Orchid.
But who decides what the color of the year is, and what does it mean? What does it really matter? Jude Stewart joins us to help answer those questions. She is the author of Roy G. Biv, an exceedingly surprising book about color. Jude, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So the color of 14 is something called Radiant Orchid. As well as you can describe it on the radio, how would you describe Radiant Orchid?
Radiant Orchid, I would say, is it's a little bit pink and it's a little bit purple. It's a sort of a medium brightness, and they really use a lot of great adjectives to describe it. It has this captivating, sort of beguiling quality. And I would say I kind of agree with Pantone on that description. It is a really intriguing color.
And by the way, we do have a color swatch of Radiant Orchid up on Twitter and Facebook if you want to check it out. So what is the significance of this, a color of the year? What does it mean?
Well, you know, it's funny. I know Leatrice Eisenman, who is the executive director of the Pantone Color Institute, and she's the sort of face of this announcement every year. So I interviewed her for a design publication about it, and we talked a bit. And I asked her the same question, and she said, you know, it's really about starting a broader cultural conversation. So the last thing she wants to do is, issue an edict and expect everybody to, you know, fall in lockstep, which doesn't happen anymore, and that's not even the point. The point is all the reactions and all the conversation, that it stirs up. So it's everything from, I hate this color, it's terrible, to, people really picking up with it and saying, oh, I could do this and that and the other thing with it. And creating different palettes, seeing how it cascades out there into the world. So it's just a starting point for that conversation.
Isn't part of the idea also that it captures something of the zeitgeist of where we are? Maybe it expresses in color form our inarticulate longings and beliefs and what we're sort of feeling at the moment.
Yeah, that's what I think is probably the most interesting aspect of it is that they don't just pick this color out of a hat and start a conversation. They pick it because they think it is, as you said, you know, kind of touching into something that we can't otherwise know about ourselves, you know, that our reactions will be telling about, you know, what we're thinking and feeling right now. And, so some of the things that they've said about the color is that it expresses joy, health, and happiness, and that it's a sort of confidence-giving color. I think that's another interesting aspect of the whole process is, you know, people don't necessarily like what they think is contained in the color, and that's part of the reactions. And sometimes they love what they see there, and it's a place to jump off from.
So for Radiant Orchid, obviously, you know, we don't have to pick it up and run with it, but do you think the odds are better because it has been named that there will be designers decorating with Radiant Orchid and bridesmaid dresses in Radiant Orchid and nail polish and all of that kind of thing?
True. Who doesn't want to be radiant? If it comes with Orchid, why not? You know? Last year was Emerald, so I'm sure the names have something to do with where it is. It helps a little bit that it's pretty clear what kind of color it is. A couple of years back, it was Mimosa, the color of the year, and I don't think anybody really knew that was a yellow.
I was just going to ask you what it was. Okay.
It was a yellow.
Yellow.
Yeah. I think for what it's worth, this is the first time they picked a color from the purple family. So that's a first. And I think another way that it's interesting to see it out there being used in the world is the fact that, we're not going to all throw out everything we own this year. We're going to go and we're going to buy new things. And we want our new things to work with our old things. So, you know, there's a sort of daisy chain effect out there where people are saying, okay, well, it was very dominant. Emerald was a very dominant color. You might have bought a lot of place settings or throw pillows or, you know, accessories in this color. You know, now that we have to bring in a new color that is going to freshen up the neutrals that worked with that one, and just kind of move you forward so that you can just bring something different to your wardrobe or to your product purchases.
Now, is this mainly aimed at women, or is this about men, too? Will there be Radiant Orchid dress shirts on Wall Street popping up and ties and that kind of thing?
You know, I had that same question, too, because it is whenever you pick a color in the pink family, or I guess to a lesser extent blue, but really pink, it's one of these polarizing colors because it always is gender and politics, and you know, you have to decide as a man, I think, can you rock this pink, you know? And I think the answer is probably yes. You know, I mean, yeah, the pink dress shirt has become a very, you know, standard, even a conservative choice in some circles. So this is probably not going to get people running out to buy shirts in this color, but certainly this is going to be a color that looks great on a tie that goes with, you know, your pink shirt or your white shirts. Kind of brightens things up, and maybe get some socks to go with it. Something that Leatrice mentioned that I thought was interesting is that she sees a lot of this in activewear. Hmm. So if you're out there doing some kind of really adrenaline pumping sport, you know, maybe you get fuchsia gloves, and that's something she's seen popping up a lot, and she expects, of course, to see more of it. So there's different ways you can use the color.
Well, I wonder about the way people feel about color. Do you think that as a society we're becoming more comfortable with color? You know, in the past it seems like everything was beige, and now look at the millennials with all their crazy colors of jeans and different colors of shoes now that there didn't used to be. Do you think the door sort of opened on color? The floodgates are open?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, there's a couple different trends probably feeding into that. I mean, one, you know, we can all travel around the world on our computers, and so we're all so much more aware of all the different color combinations that exist out there. And so, you know, there's not those same rules anymore about this doesn't go with that. So, you know, you can think any color rule I can think of, you know, can't put pink with red. Well, they do it in India all the time, and it's gorgeous, you know. So, you know, we're more aware of all the different influences and what's possible. Yeah, one of the things that's interesting, if you really take the long view, way back in the day before synthetic color, you know, color was actually expensive. So, you know, if you're wearing a red, for example, that it took, you know, 20,000 cochineal insects to crush and create into dye, you know, this is going to say something about how wealthy you are, as opposed to wearing some kind of, you know, cheaply dyed, dun-colored robe, for example. So that's not a world that we live in anymore. I mean, all the colors cost the same amount. So it means that you can, you know, kind of make a different choice about colors, and it's not so much about, oh, this is the expensive color or the cheap color.
Do you think that this this color of the year has a shot at really influencing things, the way that we see color and what pops up in the coming year?
I think that, yeah, well, you know, Pantone is an incredibly large and respected organization, and there's a, you know, they have reached into pretty much every way that color is used throughout the world. But at the same time, you know, there's a reason for that. It's not merely a Big Brother kind of thing. You know, it's really handy for all of us, and we work internationally, to be able to, you know, send specs off to a factory in China or wherever you're working with other people, and have an agreed upon way to define what the color is. So Pantone really provides that service, and it's a really useful one. So, you know, their infiltration into so many things means that, yeah, we'll probably will see this color. And, you know, it just remains to be seen kind of what is matched to it. That's probably where the fun starts, is actually, you know, bringing in other color palettes and taking it and kind of running with it.
So it sounds like you kind of embraced Radiant Orchid. Do you have your first piece of Radiant Orchid stuff yet?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm sitting in my chair right now in Chicago in my living room, and I'm looking at my socks, and they are accidentally, they have some stripes in them that are Radiant Orchid.
Uh-huh.
I swear this is not planned. So I guess I am. I guess I'm pro.
It's out there. All right, Jude, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Jude Stewart, author of Roy G. Biv, an exceedingly surprising book about color.
Looks like I was ahead of the game when I bought my Radiant Orchid tuxedo last year. That's, you've seen me around the office in that.
Right, so. With your orange tie. It's
yeah,
lovely.
We got to get the picture on Facebook sometime.